Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So interesting that the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, had nothing to say about Donald Trump, or the former guy, calling him a dumb SOB. Yes, our politics have fallen to that level. Interestingly enough, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, they gave Trump an award. Something like, you know, like the Defender of Freedom of Award or something like something crazy like that. Again, trying to keep, you know, keep stoking his ego a little bit, keep stroking the ego so that he doesn't attack them, except for Mitch McConnell. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day, our good friend from former Ohio Congressman and political analyst Bob Ney. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
So it's devolved down to, you know, he's a dumb SOB.
Well, I mean, look, CNBC's headline is a little bit disingenuous in this way. Trump gets award from the Senate Republican fundraising group before he calls Senator McConnell a dumb SOB. He would have got the award if he'd have called him three times before he got, he gets the award no matter what.
Yeah.
They're not going to withhold it. They didn't care if it was before or after. So I was just being a little facetious about the headline.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
I can't believe it's a story, but I just thought it was funny that McConnell didn't respond. He'll probably be asked again tomorrow about it, but I guess we need something to keep the former guy in the news, right?
Right. And, you know, I mean, kudos to McConnell. If he responds, Trump's going to come back, and they're going to go back, and, you know,
yeah,
just going to have to let it go. Trump is there, and I think it was best said by McConnell, who, you know, berated Trump, but said if he's a not, you know, if he runs, he'll be the nominee.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's true.
It is true, and there'll potentially be a chance that he can win.
Well, I mean, these days in America, you never know. If the president, I mean, who knows, you know, 4 years from now, but if the president can continue certain policies like he's doing on China, and if he can do something with the economy and manufacturing, then it would be hard to, you know, take him out in key states as what happened in 2016.
Correct.
With Pennsylvania and Wisconsin.
No, it all comes back down for me for this infrastructure bill. They get this through, you get people back to work, you get, you know, people, you know, feeling that things are going to get better, that there's a future, that they're optimistic about the future. They usually stick with who's in power.
Right. The infrastructure is a biggie because that's going to continue on throughout his first term.
Yep.
You know, by the time they gear certain things up, and you know how they do the engineering studies, so there'll be progress, you know, year by year throughout the first term. Those infrastructure bills are the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah, and so I'm looking forward to that. If we can get it through, if they can get it through, because we do need infrastructure improvements. I would like to have better broadband access in my rural community. I want to move along. John Cornyn, the senator from Texas, got himself into a bit of a pickle today with some of his tweeting. He tweeted out a story by Politico titled "The Biden White House Media Doctrine: Less Can Be More." So he tweeted that out, and then he said, quote, "The president is not doing cable news interviews. Tweets from his account are limited, and when they come, unimaginably conventional," he says. "The public comments are largely scripted. Biden has opted for fewer sit-down interviews with mainstream outlets and reporters." And then he tweets, invites the question, "Is he really in charge?" And I got to be honest, I think Biden's tweets are perfectly fine. Especially after the last 4 years.
Well, look, we had, the White House totally run through tweets. And, of course, the president did that, as we know, for one major reason, to eliminate the media. You know, that's why he did it. But he was also, you know, personally obsessed with tweeting. And as president, Biden's not going to do that. Now, here's another thing, though. Tell me how many members 100% formulate their tweets I mean, how many, you know, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's AOC and she's pretty, you know, sharp at, you know, putting tweets together. There's also staff suggestions. That's why you have staff.
Right.
There's people that do suggest things. So I don't see that as unusual. As far as if somebody would type for members the tweet, that's fine too. Press secretaries, you know, would type my my press sheets. As you know, we didn't tweet in those days. And then you know, you approve them and you send them out and I sign them. I mean, that's just the way it runs. So I don't know why. I mean, look, don't you think Cornyn was trying to say something else?
Yeah, he was.
Didn't have the guts to do it.
He didn't have the guts to do it. That you know, and he's not in charge. That somebody else is doing all the work.
Right. And he's trying to also say competent in charge. He's not mentally there. He doesn't. You know, he won't take that step. But that's what's between the lines.
No, that's.
You know, he's not sharp enough to, you know, be doing press deals and things like that. I mean, that's what Cornyn wanted to say.
Yeah, and that's where I think Jen Psaki had the right response. She said that I can confirm that the president of the United States does not spend his time tweeting conspiracy theories.
Right.
He spends his time working on behalf of the American people, which was the nice setup. So Cornyn, maybe Cornyn, you know, did it on purpose, maybe to give her a good line like that.
Right. You never know.
You know, we'll see. But Matt Gaetz, got to get to the Gaetz. Evidently, did the little speaking gig at the Women for Trump rally in Florida, which I was kind of, you know, I thought was funny. You know, he's not the victim, no matter how many times he claims he is. But I find it interesting that when Pelosi was asked about it, she said, as I've said, that should be up to the Republicans.
Well, why should Pelosi? You mean as far as the commenting on it?
No, if he should resign, did I not say that?
Right. I mean, why should she step in it? Let them handle it.
Well, they got in the middle of Marjorie Taylor Greene, man.
But let them have the, you know, let them have the problem as to whether, you know, he should resign or not. I mean, I don't know if it's more than one member now. Has there been more?
No, just one, the guy from Illinois.
Just one.
Kinzinger.
But as far as she is speaker, I can understand where she says, well, you know, that's up to them right now on this. Oh, yeah, they did. Everybody got in the middle of Marjorie, you know, because really there is a bit of a difference. Members felt that she was a threat to them, you know?
Yeah.
As he may be an embarrassment, but he's not a threat to them. So I think she could probably justifiably distinguish between calling for one to resign and not the other.
Yeah, see, now I would be all in favor of. She was a threat, and I think she can be a threat. Had they thrown her out of Congress, had they expelled her or called for her resignation, I'm okay. You do that, but to take her off of the committees, I just thought was lifting. I didn't think they should have had to do, or they should have done.
Oh, on that side of it, I you and I talked about this on your show. They shouldn't have. It should have been a decision, you know, left to the other side.
Yeah, because I want her on the education and labor committees. I want her saying dumb stuff. I want to go, yes, we need more education funding. See? Exhibit A.
I mean, with Gaetz, it's going to be a problem for the Republicans eventually. There's only one now. But, you know, because now they have a money trail of that, what, $900 that he paid, and then the girls were paid $900. And, I mean, it's a matter of time that he will be gone.
Yeah, see, but you know, here's the thing, and this is where you got to give Gaetz credit. He had a student loan program.
Oh, paying off student loans.
Yeah, I guess that's an argument. You know, that the rest of the party doesn't have a way to help students pay for tuition costs. You know, it is what it is. Now, I find it interesting that you know, because originally it was reported that Gaetz was going asking for a pardon for himself. I guess now it's this Joel Greenberg who I guess was trying to get him to go ask as well. Mm-hmm. And this Greenberg character looks kind of sleazy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, now, I mean, he's turning on Gaetz. You know, he'll still get a sentence. Greenberg will. He still will. He won't get off. He'll get some form of a sentence.
Yeah, well, And I hope it's in one of those open prisons. Where we're that's not nice, is it? It's probably not nice. But speaking about education spending, did you see this? The governor of Texas claimed that evidently he believes Texas has reached the herd immunity phase of all of this. Now they've only vaccinated, I think it was something like 19% of the population there in Texas, about 5.5 million. And they claim there's about 2.7 million who were infected at some point. And you add those numbers together, real simple math, comes up with about 29% of the population of Texas, not the 70 or 80 that they're saying you need for herd immunity. But according to Greg Abbott, they're there.
Right. I mean, we know, from enough statements of herd immunity around the 70%. And, of course, if you're not at 70%, then they're not going to predict herd immunity. I mean, look at Michigan right now. Michigan's, even if they accelerate their vaccinations, that it's not going to be good enough. Michigan's going to have to probably have some shutdowns.
Do you see us going back to shutdowns?
I don't think so. I don't think in general the whole country, if the vaccinations continue, but you've got hot spots. Now we have a hot state, with the state of Michigan.
Right.
Some states could turn into hot spots again. I really just don't see a total shutdown unless not with COVID-19, Rick, but unless the variants get out of control, yes, we could have a problem.
Yeah, I mean,
but
sadly,
I just don't see it, with COVID.
Yeah, I don't see it either, and I don't even see it with the variant. I think we're at a point where we're where we are, and people aren't going to go back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it wouldn't be a willing proposition, that's for sure. But I'm not so sure, medically they would have to. Again, unless some wild variant factor comes into play that we don't know about, and, a new variant that, you can't control or something. In general, if they just keep with the inoculations and the mask. I was out today to a store, and some people didn't have masks on. And I'm asking myself, why didn't somebody in the store tell them to leave? There they were. And I thought, if just continue for a while, doesn't have to be forever, just continue for a while with the distancing and the mask, and yep, pretty soon we will get to the point where this will be handled and tackled.
I mean, can't we be big boys and girls about this?
I was just surprised. This is the second or third time I've seen this. And I thought, they should enforce it. I've seen it enforced before. I've seen people scream and say, my lawyer's going to call you and leave the store. But I saw some people walking around today, and I thought, okay, just if people keep with this, get inoculated, keep the masks going, this by the summer, I think, I'm not a scientist, but around, July or August, this should be pretty well handled.
Well, let's hope so. I keep going. We're so close. Don't screw this up. We've gone through a whole year of this. We're so close to the other side. Don't screw it up. Anyway, lastly, I wanted to get your thoughts on the big Zoom call over the weekend with more than 100 corporate CEOs not thrilled about the voting thing in Georgia. Republicans in the Senate losing their mind, saying that there are going to be consequences. Marco Rubio saying that people are mad about the corporate America going to China. Thoughts?
Yes, this whole corporate deal is such a mixed bag. It's a moving target. And the reason I say that, you have the top executives of the corporations. You've got 98% of 178 of the big CEOs going against the, quote, Biden tax hike. On the other hand, you have a Republican senator, Hawley, who is putting together a piece of legislation that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren may jump on, all right, for antitrust busting. Then you have the gurus within the Republican Party that do the polling who, in private meetings, Rick, a week ago in D.C., told the Republicans, go after the Democrats for them being attached to the corporate world. Meanwhile, you have corporations then responding, you know, obviously in the state of Georgia, and looking to where they want to be with their customer base. So, I mean, I just think it is a whole big mismatch of, you know, whole different approaches and what the CEOs are going to do and, you know, how they're going to try to handle it.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that the people who brought us corporations or people are now the ones complaining when the corporate people don't do what they like them doing.
What they like them doing. Exactly. Yeah, right. The ones that brought Citizens United.
Yep.
But what, now corporations are people, you see.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I'm saying, you know, I'm not jumping on the good corporation bandwagon because they're not. While we're distracted by this, they're still screwing their workers out of wages. They're still doing horrible things. They're still offshoring. They're still doing all this stuff. But on this one, the blind squirrel found a nut. But I don't think they should be responding to it at all. They shouldn't be allowed to be involved in politics at all. A corporation is a construct. It is a tool. It shouldn't be something that decides our politics.
But now they are becoming, you know, involved in, at the state level, of course. They're going to make it, you know, something across the country. And I think it's to create their, you know, good guy image. We also know what it's really about, too. They don't want to lose their customer base.
That's ultimately
it. They're afraid of it. Like in Georgia.
Yeah, like in Georgia. There you go. Good stuff as always, Bob. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Good stuff. Our good friend Bob Nay. Let's take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.